The headlines: rallies are held across the world to mark the 74th anniversary of Nakba, which marks the forced expulsion of Palestinians from their homeland. Lebanon is holding key parliamentary elections with economic challenges, a big issue on voters' minds. And authorities in the U.S. city of Buffalo say a gunman who shot dead 10 people in a black neighborhood was racially motivated. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumish Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Israeli forces have attacked Palestinian protesters in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Bareh. The protesters were out on the streets to mark the anniversary of Nakba, or the Day of Catastrophe. That is when Israel was created 74 years ago. Soldiers used tear gas and live ammunition to disperse the demonstrators. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and denounced the Israeli crimes. They held placards with signs reiterating their right to return to their ancestral land. The protesters also carried pictures of journalist Shirin Abu Akleh, who was fatally shot by Israeli forces on Wednesday. Similar rallies took place in other West Bank cities, as well as the besieged Gaza Strip.
Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip held a rally to mark the 74th Nakba Day, or Palestinian Catastrophe. Angry protesters shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and slammed the silence of the international community over the plight of Palestinians. Nakba Day marks the disposition and expulsion of Palestinians from their ancestral land prior to the creation of the Israeli regime in 1948. More than 7 decades down the road, Palestinian refugees, who are numbered in the millions, are still scattered in camps in Gaza, the occupied West Bank, and several other countries.
As we mark Nakba Day, we will never forget how Zionist gangs expelled our parents from their original towns and villages. We will never forget how Zionist gangs slaughtered our relatives. One day, our children and our grandchildren will free Palestine, and we are willing to die for our just cause and for our homeland.
In 1948, 85% of the Palestinian people were forcibly displaced from their homeland, and over 500 villages were destroyed in order to establish the Israeli regime. Decades on, Palestinians have been trying to liberate their occupied lands by resisting the Israeli occupation. According to international law, refugees have the right to return to their homes of origin, receive real property restitution, and compensation for losses and damages. 74 years after displacement, Palestinian refugees remain steadfast in their refusal to give up their right of return to their original towns and villages. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
People have filled the streets in countries around the world in solidarity with Palestinians on Nakba Day. Thousands hit the streets of Australia, New Zealand, and the United States carrying Palestinian flags and chanting anti-Israeli slogans. The rallies took place in the cities of Sydney, Melbourne, Auckland, San Francisco, and San Diego. Similar demonstrations were also held in Europe on Saturday. Protesters there denounced Israeli brutalities against Palestinians, but the German capital, Berlin, banned all public commemoration of Nakba, sparking criticism from pro-Palestinian groups. The rallies in Europe were held in major cities, including Vienna, Copenhagen, and London. A Palestinian has succumbed to his wounds, which he sustained in an Israeli gunfire in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. Dawood al-Zubaydi was shot by Israeli snipers during a raid on the Jenin refugee camp 2 days ago. He was a former prisoner in Israeli jails. Jenin has recently turned into a flashpoint due to repeated Israeli attacks. Regime forces have been raiding the area in search of suspects of deadly Palestinian operations deep inside Israel, including its capital, Tel Aviv. Several Palestinians have been killed in the Israeli raid so far. Veteran Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Akleh was also fatally shot by Israeli forces while covering one of these raids. polls close in Lebanon's parliamentary elections, with the people hoping for the revival of the country's battered economy. Nearly 4 million people are eligible to vote across 15 electoral districts. They will be picking from over 700 candidates contesting for 128 seats. The results are expected on Monday. The elections come amid an unprecedented economic crisis that began in 2019, leading to a currency collapse and plunging over 70% of the population into poverty. The last election was held in 2018, with the Hezbollah resistance movement and its allies winning the majority of the seats. The Hezbollah chief blames the crisis on a U.S.-led conspiracy against Lebanon. The next parliament is due to vote on key reforms required by the International Monetary Fund to unlock financial support. It will also elect a new president to replace Michel Aoun, whose term ends at the end of October. Welcome to another edition of the News Review. In this edition, authorities in the U.S. city of Buffalo, New York, say the Saturday mass shooting at a supermarket there was a racially motivated hate crime. 10 people died, 3 others were wounded in the shooting. 11 of the victims are black. Buffalo's authorities say the gunman, 18-year-old, traveled hours away to a predominantly black neighborhood to carry out the shooting. He has been identified as Peyton S. Gendron, and he has been taken into police custody. Gendron says that he was live screaming as he carried out the shooting. U.S. media also say that he had written a white supremacist manifesto prior to this incident. He is charged with first-degree murder. The attack was the deadliest mass shooting of the year in the United States. To discuss that further, we're joined by our correspondent Colin Campbell, who's joining us live from Washington, D.C., and also we have Frank Emsbeck, emeritus professor at the University of Wisconsin, joining us live from Madison. And let's begin with Colin. They say it's a hate crime, racially motivated. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, they're looking at some of the words that he used in his manifesto and some of the sentiments that he may have uttered when under arrest. And he talked about something called replacement theory, which is an idea that whites will be replaced by minority groups in this country, and that it's being specially engineered, and society is being specially engineered for whites to eventually become the minorities and then be dominated by the minorities. This is an ideology that's usually espoused by one of the commentators on one of the cable program shows here in the United States. And obviously, this is not something that is talked about widely about what the commentator often says, because many people realize that it's just bloviation, but some people buy into this ideology. At the same time, this is not an ideology that is something that the government says that they are doing. It is statistically showing that white people in this country are having less children. Some people are also talking about how that is motivating abortion policy in the United States. But there is a demographic shift. America is becoming browner just because of a natural trend that's occurring, not some socially engineered type of cultural bias that the government is implementing. However, not everyone believes that, as did this guy who affiliated and empathized with Nazis as well.
Okay, so Professor Frank Emsbeck, can you tell us more about this type of mentality right now in the U.S., and how serious is this?
Well, it's quite serious, and it isn't just the U.S. One of the issues in the French election recently was replacement theory. That was being espoused by, I guess, the person who came in fourth. In any event, here, we should understand that for the first 87 years of the country's existence, that is 47 years ago, as Lincoln said, we had slavery, which is white supremacy. Then there was a brief period of time, about 12 years at the most, of what we call Reconstruction, where in the South, legally, blacks and whites were equal. That was then overthrown. And then basically, legally, until basically the 1960s, you had a legal thing that basically said segregation was okay. In other words, white supremacy was in part of really sort of, I guess, included in and sort of baked in to the American psyche. So this is not something that's sort of coming from the outside. Lately, of course, people recognize that there's a shift demographically. And everybody says that, you know, in 10 years or 20 years, white people will be a minority. Well, if for 200 years of the country's existence, more or less, white supremacy was part of the culture, part of the legal business here, it's very, very hard to all of a sudden say, well, that's all gone, in a deep way. Not necessarily people running around saying, well, I'm a white supremacist, but a really sort of core belief in part of the country. And that is what got expression and is expressed by the supremacy theory, by the replacement theory, and hence extraordinarily dangerous in a society like ours, where guns are very, very widely available and people use them.
Okay, before we continue on that note in particular, gun violence, as you just mentioned, let's take a look at some social media reactions to this story. Okay, so Matt Evenden says, to all media covering the Buffalo mass shooting, make sure to call the shooter what he is, a white supremacist and a terrorist. I don't care how old you are. If you go to a grocery store and kill 10 people and stream it on Twitch, you are a terrorist. Tarek Nasheed says, this is confirmed. A white supremacist specifically went to a low-income black neighborhood in Buffalo, New York, to carry out a mass shooting. These types of white supremacists are allowed to sit online and plot these attacks, and nothing is done to thwart this type of anti-black terrorism. Tristan Snell says the Buffalo shooting is a domestic terrorism. This is not a mental health case. This is a terrorist with an agenda and a manifesto. Call evil by its real name. And finally, Robert Griffin says another mass shooting, this time in Buffalo, New York. More innocent lives lost, more prayers going up for the families who lost loved ones. Yet, we sit by and allow politicians to stuff their pockets and make gun control a political issue. Saving lives is more important than guns. Okay, so Colin, let's continue this discussion on that note which Professor Emspach left us on, gun violence in the United States. This is, again, another case, one of the worst, particularly the worst in 2022, I assume.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest mass shootings, if not the biggest mass shootings so far this year. And the man who used the AR-15 is where investigators are looking at how he used this gun in order to take lives rather quickly. And, the video, I've seen part of it, it is rather disturbing, and he opens fire in a parking lot as he advances into the store. He basically mows people down with his gun. AR-15 is one of those types of weapons that has been at the source of controversy as to how it should be regulated, because it is capable of mass shootings and firing bullets at a relatively fast rate with obvious efficacy. And so I believe that, again, this is going to be a topic of discussion. Now, will anything be done? That is highly unlikely. There are a lot of other issues going on in the U.S. that usually take priority over discussions of gun violence, regardless of how many people are killed. We've seen this happen in Sandy Hook in Connecticut. We've seen it happen in Las Vegas, Nevada, where many people were killed, and it seemed like it was just a hot headline for several days, and then it just disappeared as to other issues. And right now we are facing a deep inflation. A lot of people are worried about the economy, and I suspect that will continue to be at the forefront of conversation, even more so than trying to create measures for gun control.
Thank you very much, Frank Emspach, Emeritus Professor at the University of Wisconsin, joining us live from Madison, and also our very own Colin Campbell, live from Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for both of you for sharing your views with us. Welcome back. Finland and Sweden have confirmed that they will apply for membership of the NATO military alliance despite warnings from Russia. The bids reverse policies on long-running military neutrality in both countries, and their attempt comes amid a Russian war in Ukraine. Finland's president has called the NATO membership bid a historic move, and the Finnish parliament will convene on Monday to approve the proposal. Sweden's ruling Social Democrat Party has also backed the country joining NATO, but the party said that it is opposed to stationing nuclear weapons or permanent NATO military bases in Sweden. Meanwhile, a group of protesters have come out in Stockholm rejecting their country's bid to join NATO. A local organization called Say No to NATO organized the protest. It says the government would be shirking its main responsibility of protecting Sweden's independence if it joins NATO. In the meantime, NATO foreign ministers are holding 2 days of talks in Berlin, focusing on the membership bids of Sweden and Finland. The Western Military Alliance says it is confident that it can quickly admit the two Nordic countries despite Turkish objections. Moscow has already warned Helsinki and Stockholm of retaliatory steps if they join NATO. Russia sees the alliance's expansion towards its borders as a threat to its security. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners of Listeners Special, and welcome to this week's edition of this program. Of course, on this beautiful Sunday, May 15th, 2022, I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Warm greetings to you all, and as you know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. So here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Juan Coba from Spain, and Bill McDavid from the US. So, Bashir, Bill, and Juan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your program, of course, Listeners Special. And of course, here we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails, including an email from Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Eddie is one of our regular listeners. From India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra Kanda, one of our old and regular listeners. From Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratovara, one of our regular listeners. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany has sent us an email. And Mickey Delmage from Canada, of course, has sent us an email, which I will read these emails after a short break. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Listeners Special, and Eddie Witanto from Indonesia has sent us an email. Eddie says, firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Almost every day, I tune into the IRIB English Radio because a variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society are presented in the programs, and they are very interesting. Best regards from Indonesia. Salam and warm greetings from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRIB English Radio to Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Eddie, thank you very much for sending us such a nice email. And thank you for letting us know your opinion about our broadcast. As you said, almost every day you tune into the IRIB English Radio because it broadcasts a variety of topics and issues about the Iranian culture and society. And that's great. It made my day. I mean, this email. Thank you very much. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card as a verification. Please write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, one of our great and regular listeners. And from India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra Kanda, one of our regular listeners. So let's see what Pradeep says. Pradeep says, dear friends, warm greetings from India. This is my communication after a long time. Actually, IRIB English radio programs have not been audible well here for many days. Same experience with your other services too. I thought IRIB was gradually preparing to leave the shortwave forever, as many other stations had already done. Anyway, last evening, I could listen your English program considerably well. I was really surprised. I at once decided to submit you a reception report. Kindly check the contents of this report with attached audio clips. I would appreciate your QSL verification card in return if it satisfies you. With best regards and best wishes. Salam and warm greetings to you, Pradeep Chandrakanda from India. And thank you very much for sending us this email. So for many days, you had the problem in receiving IRIB English radio signals. I don't know why. Of course, we will let our technicians and engineers know about this problem which happened in your region, Pradeep. What a pity that you couldn't receive the signals of IRIB English radio. Anyway, we will let our technicians and engineers know about this problem, and thank God you could finally receive the signals of IRIB English radio. That's great. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification. Thank you very much for letting us know about this problem. And thank you very much for letting us know here about you again, Pradeep Chandra from India. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And at any time you had the problem in receiving the signals, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And then, after fixing the problem, you can refer to the shortwave. Write to us soon, Pradeep Chandra. So, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we've received an email from Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So let's see what Kurt Ettlinger says. Dear sir or madam of the team of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, as a DXing fan, I scanned my radio dial and I found your frequency. I listened to the news and commentary about the Saudi war in Yemen and your support, which was very informative. I found your programs very interesting and full of information, especially your broadcast lecture of the Islamic Society. I hope I would be able to find more secondary frequencies of your station. So I would be very grateful to you if you can send me a QSL card or an EQSL for my reception report. Thank you in advance. Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRIB English Radio. To you, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. Please accept our appreciations for sending us this email and for letting us know your views and opinions about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. As you said, you could catch the program, the news and commentary about the Saudi war in Yemen, and your support, which you found it very informative, yes. IRIB English Radio always tries to cover up the world developments and the developments in the world, which most Western media don't cover it. For example, the Saudi war in Yemen, the Saudi-led war, the US-backed war in Yemen, which is not covered up by most Western media. So we here in IRIB English Radio, as I said, try to cover all the issues, almost all the issues which is happening around the world in an unbiased, non-partial way. And that's great that you can receive the signals of IRIB English Radio and let us know your opinion about this broadcast. So it was great that you found the programs of IRIB English Radio very interesting and very informative. As you said, you found it full of information And it seems that you listen to the broadcast lecture of the Islamic Society, and that's great. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card, an electronic QSL card as a verification, because sending a paper QSL card is not possible at the moment because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, thank you very much for sending us this email and letting us know your views about our broadcast. Write to us soon. And from Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratvara. So Olof says, greetings from Finland. I am a 53-year-old DXer. I'm very happy of finding your English program. I like to listen shortwave stations, collect stamps, and play chess in a club. I have sent my reception reports to you, English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you for your programs. I should be very pleased to receive your verification. Salam and warm greetings to you, Olof, from Finland. Thank you very much for writing to us. So you wrote about your hobbies. You like DXing, you like receiving shortwave stations and collecting stamps and playing chess in a club, as you said. And that's great, Olof. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. So Mickey Delmash from Canada has sent us an email. Mickey says, dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings from Canada. I would like to tell you of my reception of your radio recently and would be very much appreciated to receive your verification QSL card. If available, I would like to add a sticker or logo souvenir of your station to my collection. I have noticed that although your signal is strong, the voice modulation is low, making listening challenging at times. I hope your engineering department will be able to correct this problem. I do hope you will be able to verify match reception with your QSL card. Thank you very much for your kind time. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mickey Delmash from Canada. And please accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this email. And thank you very much for letting us know about the quality of the programs. As you said, the signal was strong, but the voice modulation was low. Of course, my colleagues will soon fix this problem. I let my colleagues know about this problem and they will soon fix it. Thank you very much for letting us know about this problem. So my colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card as a confirmation and verification. But regarding your request for sending you a sticker or logo souvenir of IRIB English Radio, sending any promotional item or material at the time of pandemic is not possible on behalf of IRIB English Radio. Please, at the time being, accept our eQSL card. But in the future, after the pandemic, we, of course, will soon send you a sticker, logo, souvenir, or promotional items of IRIB English Radio to you. Write to us soon, Mickey Delmash from Canada. Thank you again for sending us this email. And here we reach to the end of this week's listeners special. But before wrapping up the program, again, I do send my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us emails, letters, and reception reports, including Olof Ratovara from Finland, Eddie Vitanto from Indonesia, Pradeep Chandra Kanda from India, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, Juan Koba from Spain, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Bill McDavid from the US, and Mickey Delmas from Canada. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. One of the teachings that we have repeated in the Holy Quran in various ways is the general concept of the hereafter, the day of judgment, and afterwards. While adhab is not for everyone, death onwards, it's not a gloomy, dark, ugly, painful picture for everyone. For everyone at the moment of death onwards, for muttaqin is actually great. Better, everything becomes better, and all the bad and all the shar is gone the moment of death onwards. While that's the case, a muttaqi needs to remember the adab of Allah and to be afraid of it. Sometimes it happens that a person looks at those verses of adab and looks at verses of describing paradise and the rewards in it. And it's all nice, and it's all like the stuff they see, you know, how it's very terrifying, the day of judgment and the descriptions and so on and so forth. But there's something else that's missing, something that this fear of the adab is based on. Without that, while a person can recognize how terrifying it is, they're not going to be afraid of it. You fear things that you know potentially can come your way. Something that's a danger for you, you can be afraid of. You're afraid of fire in this world because it's dangerous. When it's around, you cook your meal on it, but you're careful with it. You know if you get your hand too close, it's going to burn you. That danger is always in your mind. You use fire, you cook meals. On the stove, there's, well, if you're using gas stoves, that is, you're going to see some fire there, some flames. If you don't, then it's the heat. Either way, there's something that makes some pretty good food, but it's dangerous. Electricity serves us. We use it for air conditioning. We use it for so many different, but it's dangerous to work with. If anybody starts working with that, opening up outlets to fix things or whatever, they're going to be extra cautious because there's an imminent danger. There's something that's very serious, very real. They know it. A person who doesn't recognize that, even if they've heard all these things about electricity and so on, if they don't think it's a real danger for them, then they're going to be careless, and that's what's going to get them killed. People have gotten killed because they were careless. It's because they didn't really take the danger seriously. While the Quran is read, and we hear it in majalis, Dua Kumail is read, we gaze upon the translation every now and then, we see what is said there. It's not something that we are careful, and therefore we don't see the result in our lives. We're not careful of our deeds. We're careless. Say this, do that. Wear hijab, not wear hijab. Doesn't matter. Eat haram. Don't eat halal. Either way, doesn't matter. Be with the opposite gender in whatever way. Have any relationship in any way. Those are extreme cases, of course. There's less extreme cases. Although Islam says some of the ones I'm about to mention are extreme, but in ways they're less extreme. In ways. Hadith need to be understood correctly. We don't care. We talk about this person. We develop suspicion. Su'ul dhan towards believers. We don't care. We don't care. We read, we hear punishment and so on and so forth. What is the issue? What's that fundamental issue? Before saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, we read, before saying that these musallin are people who are afraid of the adab of their Lord, it says, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, they affirm, they believe, they consider true the day of judgment. They know it's right. They know it's going to happen. Look at all, again, the du'as and the ahadith insisting on and emphasizing on this idea in, I think it's Ziyarat al-Yasin that we have, that we testify that أن الموت حق, paradise, hell, these are haqq, these are truths. These are realities. These will definitely happen. Tasdiq, which means to consider something to be true. Somebody tells you something, you either accept it as a truth, or you just say, I don't know, I don't care. If you accept it as something that's true and it's going to affect you, then you're going to take it very seriously. That's just how it is. How clear are we that the day of judgment is real? That's what causes us to be more or less careful. One of the things we need to do is to remind ourselves, look, this day-to-day routine that I have, going to work, coming home, resting, eating, having fun, seeing friends, seeing family, gatherings, this, that, the other, that we've sometimes experienced for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. This isn't it. This will end. And when it ends, life doesn't end. Existence doesn't end. Real life begins. And everything about that, and the adab, and the reward, all of that is true. Every bit of it. The more we're clear about that, as Amir al-Mu'mineen describes the Muttaqeen in the sermon of known as the Sermon of Hammam, because he asked the question. He says their relationship with paradise and hell is as though they're in it, as though they're seeing it. As though, for us, as though. There are some, according to the hadith from the Holy Prophet, there are some that are actually seeing it. But at least we can come to a point where it's crystal clear for us that this will happen. Crystal clear. We need to work on that. We need to work on that to develop that clarity further and further. And if we have more and more clarity in that regard, then our fear is going to become a lot more real. And that's going to have an effect on our behavior, on the way we treat each other, the way we fulfill our responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything else. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and inshallah get us to a position where that description of the musallin is true in our case. بحق آل محمد وآل محمد.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم
شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered on April 12, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the government officials of the Islamic Republic. Another issue which is very important and which is a long-term project is the issue of economic growth without oil. Just like the countries which do not have any oil and which have a good rate of economic growth and progress, and they are not a small number either. Of course, this cannot happen in the short run. Rather, it will happen in the long run. It is not a task that can be carried out in the space of 1-2 days and by one administration. If administrations show determination, this might be achieved by 2 8-year administrations. Another issue is to see where and how we must spend revenues. If there is a resolution in the case of foreign revenues from a particular area, these revenues should not be allocated to unnecessary imports. Rather, they must be allocated to infrastructural projects. The country needs infrastructural projects, railroad transports, the various matters related to knowledge-based companies, and transit routes with neighboring countries are the infrastructure projects that must be carried out. The country needs these.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Industries must be renovated. Many of our industries are old, and their renovation requires revenues. The revenues must be allocated to these things. It should not be the case that the gate to luxury products opens as soon as we get our hands on some revenues. It is said that many of the products are entered via smuggling. Well, smuggling must be prevented as well. This is really a very great and important task. Some people import dog food and cosmetics at an exorbitant money. Not a single cent should be allocated to these things, let alone spending hugely on them. What I want to say is that we have many infrastructural tasks. The issue of the country's water is an infrastructural task whose resolution is completely possible, but this requires money. Fortunately, we know that this administration has done very good task in this regard, and it is an ongoing process. These tasks must be carried out. The issue of water is a very important issue.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.